Part 1. The Plague. Chapter 1. Gregor stared in the bathroom mirror for a minute, steeling himself. Then he slowly unrolled the scroll and held the handwritten side up to the glass. In the reflection, he read the first stanza of a poem entitled The Prophecy of Blood. As usual, the lines made him feel sick to his stomach. There was a knock on the door. "Boots has to go," he heard his 8-year-old sister Lizzie say. Gregor released the top of the scroll, and it snapped into a roll. He quickly stuck it in the back pocket of his jeans and pulled his sweatshirt down to conceal it. He hadn't told anyone about this new prophecy yet, and didn't intend to until it was absolutely necessary. A few months ago, right around Christmas, he had returned home from the Underland, a dark, war-torn world miles beneath New York City. It was home to giant talking rats, bats, spiders, cockroaches, and a variety of other oversized creatures. There were humans there, too, a pale-skinned, violet-eyed people who had traveled underground in the 1600s and built the stone city of Regalia. The Regalians were probably still debating whether Gregor was a traitor or a hero. On his last trip, he had refused to kill a white baby rat called the Bane. For many Underlanders, that was unforgivable because they believed the Bane would one day be the cause of their total destruction. The current Queen of Regalia, Nerissa, was a frail teenager with disturbing visions of the future. She was the one who had slipped the scroll into Gregor's coat pocket when he was leaving. He had thought it was the prophecy of Bane, which he had just helped to fulfill. Instead, it was this new and terrifying poem. "So you can reflect on it sometimes," Nerissa had said. Turned out, she'd meant it literally. The prophecy of blood was written backward. You couldn't even make sense of it unless you had a mirror. "Gregor, come on," called Lizzie, rapping on the bathroom door again. He opened the door to find Lizzie with their 2-year-old sister, Boots. They were both bundled up in coats and hats, even though they hadn't been outside today.
"Need to pee,"
squealed Boots, pulling her pants down around her ankles and then shuffling to the toilet.
"First get to the toilet, then pull down your pants," instructed Lizzie for the 100th time.
Boots wiggled up onto the toilet seat.
"I big girl now. I can go pee."
"Good job," said Gregor, giving her a thumbs up. Boots beamed back at him.
"Dad's making drop biscuits in the kitchen. The oven's on in there," said Lizzie, rubbing her hands together to warm them.
The apartment was freezing. The city had been clutched in record-breaking lows for the past few weeks, and the boiler that fed steam to the old heating pipes could not compete. People in the building had called the city and called again. Nothing much happened.
"Wrap it up, Boots. Time for biscuits," said Gregor.
She pulled about a yard of toilet paper off the roll and sort of wiped herself. You could offer to help, but she'd just say,
"No, I do it myself."
Gregor made sure she washed and dried her hands, then reached for the lotion so he could rub some into her chapped skin. Lizzie caught his sleeve as he was about to squeeze the bottle.
"That's shampoo," she said in alarm.
Almost everything alarmed Lizzie these days.
"Right," said Gregor, switching bottles.
"We have jelly, Gregor?"
asked Boots hopefully as he massaged the lotion into the backs of her hands. Gregor smiled at this new pronunciation of his name. He'd been Gego for about a year, but Boots had recently added an R. "Grape jelly," said Gregor. "I got it just for you. You hungry?"
"Yes,"
said Boots, and he swung her up onto his hip. A cloud of warmth enveloped him as he brought Boots into the kitchen. His dad was just